Welcome to the Plant Centered and Thriving Podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Kitchens. I'm a plant-based registered dietitian and virtual nutrition mentor. I was raised on an Angus cattle farm, grew up with a lot of GI issues, and used the power of plant-based eating to promote healing. Here you'll find inspiration, ideas, and encouragement for your own plant-based journey. I'm so thrilled you're here today. Let's get started. Welcome back to another episode. I'm so excited for today's episode. In a little bit, I'm going to have a guest join me, and she's a former plant-centered nutrition coaching client. And I was so fortunate to be able to support her through her journey for about a year. And in that time, it was so cool just to watch her grow and evolve in her own journey of intuitive eating, but we'll definitely dive more into that in a little bit. So to introduce Amanda, she is from the Seattle area, and she's been plant-based for about 25 years. Her journey started in middle school, and what she says is that it was more about being contrary than anything else, but eventually her intentions were more geared towards the environmental impact of the animal industry. So we're going to have Amanda here on the show in a little bit. And although Amanda is a past client of mine, she's just such an expert in the realm of intuitive eating now and her own body and her experiences. And I cannot wait for her to share more about her experience, because it really is incredible to look back at where she was before we started working together and where she's at now. Before we started working together, this was one of the first things that she actually said to me. And it's that she had been a lifetime member of WW for several years, and she was getting tired of tracking and starting to develop this, like, I don't care type of attitude. And it was interesting because this is what she was explaining to me in her application to work with me. And it completely made sense that she was sort of developing this attitude. You know, she was exhausted. She was tired of counting and tracking, and she was looking for something different. And little did she know it would lead her to intuitive eating. So WW, Weight Watchers, that was the last diet she was ever on. But I don't want to give too much away. I think it's really important actually just to share true stories that my clients have had, like their real life stories and experiences. I had a client on earlier this year who talked about her experience with dieting, and she was actually started on Weight Watchers at the age of 8, so in elementary school. And as a listener, I'm sure you can relate to this. And what brought all of this up, just this whole podcast idea of talking more about WW, was I did an IGTV and a podcast episode about Noom several months ago, and I'll link that in the show notes. But what that did was it sparked a lot of questions, not just about Noom, but about WW. And so I knew I had just another great podcast episode idea, but also too, just the perfect past client to give an insider's perspective on what went on behind the scenes with WW and her story and what she's doing now. Before we get into that, as a disclaimer, I do want you to know that this is my personal opinion. So use this episode for informational and educational purposes only. If you've tried WW or you're currently on WW, I'm definitely not against you doing that by any means. What I am against is diet culture, against feeling like we have to be a specific size or a specific number. So I tell my clients this, and anyone that I work with, you know, we never get angry at the person because it's not their fault. What we get angry at is diet culture. So that's what I'm against. And when we think about diets, we typically think of keto or Whole30 or Atkins, but we often don't think of companies like Weight Watchers, WW, I'm going to use those interchangeably, or Noom even. So this podcast is for you if you've thought about doing WW, if you know you've done it or are on it now, or maybe you have a friend or a family member who's on it or talking about doing it, or maybe you just want to learn more. I remember my grandma growing up, I remember my grandma being on it and talking about counting points and saving her points for specific dinners. And it's been helpful for me just to gain a better understanding of the program in general. I want to give you a little background on WW. So Weight Watchers, it is a weight loss program, and it's been around, y'all get this, since 1963, a really long time. And it recently, in 2018, rebranded itself from Weight Watchers, which has long been known as, to WW. And I go into this in the Noom podcast episode that these companies like WW and Noom, they're having to get very, very savvy with their marketing, because as consumers, we're becoming more and more aware of diet culture and what kind of impact that has on our lives. So companies like Noom and WW have sort of like rebranded, or they use this really powerful messaging and marketing that sort of skirts around the idea of weight loss. And they, you know, tote themselves as not being a diet when in fact they are. So the quote, new Weight Watchers, which is now WW, they claim to be more of a lifestyle now rather than a diet. They say that like their main goal isn't just about reaching a certain number anymore. It's, you know, more related to changing your habits and becoming quote healthier people, regardless of that number. But I was actually on their website and I was like kind of searching around and doing some research. And what I noticed was actually a lot of the messaging is still tied around weight loss. One of the things that they said, and this is like in big bold letters, was that weight loss that works. That's what they're all about. Weight loss that works and lets you live. So they say that losing weight shouldn't mean losing out. So one thing that I do appreciate about Weight Watchers that I didn't appreciate about Noom is that at least they are very transparent that this is a weight loss diet, that this is about losing weight, which Noom sort of skirts around. But we'll dive into that a little bit more. So even with the rebranding from Weight Watchers to WW, there's still a lot of weight loss messaging on their website. And just from what I've seen in doing my own research. So, okay, I'm going to hand over the mic to Amanda. This episode is incredible. And Amanda, I just appreciate you so much sharing your story, being vulnerable. And I'm also too, just so glad that I've been able to be a part of your journey. So here's Amanda and I's take on WW. Amanda, welcome. I'm really excited for you to share your story. So why don't we just dive right in? And if you could just give us a insight into what sort of drew you to WW way back when and your experience.
I don't ever remember a time when it wasn't a part of my life. I think even when I was a kid, my mom had done it off and on, as ladies in the 80s did. Right after I graduated college, I worked at a bank and they brought it in. Like they used to, I don't know if they still do it, but they did like a WW at work program, and like a leader would come to your office and everybody could go to the meeting and, you know, cheer each other on and keep each other from eating whatever they had decided they shouldn't eat. And it was supposed to be like a good community building kind of thing. And so I had joined and done a few meetings and bailed, as most people do, I think, on diets, and then didn't think about it again for a couple of years. And about a year before I got married, unrelated to getting married, I saw a picture of myself taken at like a not like the best angle with not the best light, wearing not the best outfit. And it was kind of like a, oh, that is not what I think I look like. And it's also not what I think I'm supposed to look like. Oh, I know WW. Like, I'll just join online and see what it's about. And that is what led me to it. And I did that for like a year and I lost some weight and then was able to kind of maintain that for many years. And then I got pregnant twice and had two babies. And afterwards I thought, oh, I have like a lot of clothes that I would like to fit back into. And so I went back to it.
Oh, yes. I hear that a lot. It's like, I have these clothes in my closet that I once loved and wore and fit me so well, and now they don't fit me as well. And I want to get back into them, which you and I worked on a lot.
Yes. I actually almost texted you yesterday because I was getting rid of a couple of pairs of pants. And I thought, oh, this feels so easy to just be like, these don't serve me right now. I'm going to put them in the Goodwill bin. And if I ever need to buy smaller pants again, I'll just buy smaller pants. And yeah, that, like, it wasn't even a problem.
That's so good to hear. Cause I know when we were first kind of talking about it, and a lot of people experience this, it's hard to get rid of some of those clothes.
Yeah. Well, clothes cost money and there's that. And I think even environmentally, like, I really don't want to contribute to landfills, stuff that maybe can't go to Goodwill or that other people don't want. So part of it for me is just like the eco-consciousness, like, oh, it feels wasteful to like keep growing out of clothes or into clothes, but trying to be sustainable in my fashion.
Yes. And it's true. Sometimes that's how it goes as well. It's like needing to kind of get rid of those clothes because clothes are meant to serve us. We're not meant to serve clothes. So I like the fact that you brought that up as well. So going back to what you said in the beginning, I actually didn't know that Weight Watchers, I feel like I'm learning so many things as like I'm doing all this research. I didn't know that Weight Watchers came into the workplace. And I'm sure they did that in a lot of, you know, different workplaces, especially in the 80s and 90s and early 2000s.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if they still do. It would have been like 2006 that they came into, I worked at a bank and it was like, I think someone had to invite them in. I don't think that was like an Avon lady showing up at your door with here's a points tracker. But I think there was like a Weight Watchers at Work program. And as long as you had like maybe 10 enrollees.
And it's funny you mentioned the ladies in the 80s thing, because my first introduction to Weight Watchers was my grandma doing it. And I mentioned that earlier in this episode of that was, you know, her like counting points and kind of saving them up and do different things. And that was sort of my first experience with that. And that was probably, you know, 20 years ago.
No, the 80s was like 40 years ago. Nice try.
Shoot. Oh, yeah, you're right. You know what? It probably was like 30. Yeah. Wow. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Sorry,
long time ago. I am. Okay. So you were introduced to it at work first, went off of it because like, we know like diets don't work. And for you, it just didn't seem to like fit into your lifestyle at that point. But then you circled back, tried it again after seeing a picture of yourself. And then how did that, cause that was a good while ago. Like you said, like probably
2007 actually. So, or eight, maybe seven or eight.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then how did that experience go?
It actually went really well for me. Mm-hmm. I was probably like 23 at the time, and I learned a lot. I learned a lot about how to kind of balance my plate and like what foods were more filling for me and what foods were more fun and how to like integrate both. I don't know that I grew up in like a dieting household for sure. So I never had a very good grasp on like how to fuel my body. It was more about like, oh, this week's diet is the grapefruit diet. So like, this is what we're having, you know, or like now we're not on the grapefruit diet. We're having McDonald's every night. So
yep.
There wasn't like a good measure of balance. And so it was actually like the first time in my life that I really kind of learned about how to integrate like the food pyramid, I guess, for lack of a better term, into my life in like a sustainable way. And so when I first did it, it must've been 2007. This was when Weight Watchers still had their good health guidelines. So you had to have like five fruits and veggies every day, like two dairy servings or calcium or whatever, two teaspoons of oil. Like they had a couple of metrics that you were supposed to kind of check off and make sure you were including in your day. And surely there was something about protein, but I just don't remember it. But that was like the foundation of a lot of my meal building then, was like, okay, how to work the system and like fill up with the amount of points they gave you, but then also like, oh, how to feel good. And so it went really well. And worked the system and it worked for me, I guess. Yep.
Well, and that was part of the reason why I wanted you to share your story, is because I feel like you have a very neutral approach to Weight Watchers. It's like, there were some aspects that, like you said, you needed maybe that consistency or that structure in your life when it came to planning out a meal or balancing a plate. Cause you really, that wasn't really modeled for you maybe. So that was really helpful. But then also too, in knowing what you know now, because now you're sort of on this like intuitive eating journey, you know, reflecting back on your time with WW, how do you feel like maybe someone who might struggle with weighing themselves or counting points, how do you feel like that would maybe affect their relationship with food or themselves or even just eating in general?
Well, I was thinking the other day about some of the experiences I had the final time I did Weight Watchers, and that was after having two babies, and I went to in-person meetings, which I had never done before, and it was a different experience, and there's like a community, and there were some women who had been going to that same meeting together for like 20 plus years, like, and they knew each other and they were like friendly and had developed these connections. And that was so charming to me, like, oh my gosh, this like space, especially as like a young mother, that's just for me and like taking care of my body. But a lot of what these like old timers had to say was, if you don't come to the meetings, it doesn't work. You'll gain the weight back. Like, and that was always kind of like in the back of my mind, like, oh, so I will be on a diet forever.
Yeah.
And I was remembering this time that somebody shared, you know, there was like a lot of sharing in the meetings, like what your highs and lows for the week and stuff. And somebody shared that they had really wanted a donut to the point where they like drove to their grocery store to get like a donut from the bakery. But before they went in, they journaled in the car about like why they wanted to eat that donut, why it wasn't good for them. And then there was this like chorus of like, great job, you, like you didn't eat the donut. And I remember being like, I don't want to have to journal before I eat something. Like that's hard. And as much as like the system of Weight Watchers is like, eat what you want, find balance, a lot of those principles kind of line up with a lot of the intuitive eating stuff, give or take a few. The community of Weight Watchers is totally different. So if you're like not careful about how you include yourself or include Weight Watchers in your life, you very much could find yourself in a community of people who tell you to just eat like, you know, deli meat wrapped around a pickle and call it lunch or whatever.
Yes. Yes. So it sounds like the deeper you got into it, the more you were noticing, and especially too, going to in-person events, the more you started noticing maybe these, some things like diet culture related, like topics of conversation or just like kind of things being thrown in there that didn't jive so well with you.
Yes. Or there would be like, okay, now Thanksgiving is coming up. Of course you can eat whatever you want, but make sure the first plate is all vegetables and like 0 point foods. And here are like the tips and tricks to like not eat during the day so that you can save your points for dinner or whatever. And that just doesn't work for me. I think that the, again, like the community advice is what matters. And that's certainly contrary to a lot of, I think they're like kind of foundational principles.
Yeah. Yeah. So in a way there was like a lot of pros in that you were learning how to balance a plate, learning how to like create some consistency when it came to meals, but also at the same time, some of this messaging, it just didn't feel right because it was almost disconnecting you from doing things that you enjoy, like eating breakfast or having like an actual Thanksgiving meal that you loved and looked forward to versus like maybe restricting yourself or like saving all your points for later or eating 0 point foods in the beginning, that type of thing.
Yes, 100%. And I think I've worked a lot since working with you and then after to try to untangle some of that, because a lot of it is like so like subtle that you don't realize that it's like creeping into your brain. And I think I shared with you before, but for me, that was brown rice. I was like, yeah, no, I love brown rice. Of course, I'm going to pick brown rice all the time. And the like Weight Watcher system, it's either like 0 points or it's like 1 point less than white rice. And so really like that's what draws you towards picking brown rice. And eventually you're like, yeah, no, brown rice is the default. Of course I love brown rice. But like, it felt like a chicken egg situation, like which came first.
Yes.
And now I just eat white rice and that's okay. Cause I get like plenty of fiber or whatever comes from brown rice and other things. So.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. So sort of like, almost like trying to see through, okay, my brain is thinking this way, but why is it? Because is it because of the points or is it because of what I truly desire? And really, like you said, trying to untangle, like, where is this messaging coming from? And what is it that I truly want here?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So for someone listening, who's like, okay, points, I have no idea like what the point system is about, or even what Weight Watchers is about, like how it works when you sign up and what they give you and how does that kind of work? If you could like walk us through that process.
Well, I think if you sign up to go in person, they weigh you. The location that I went to, you didn't have to look. You could turn around and get weighed backwards. There were people who chose to do that, who didn't want to know. And sometimes that was like, oh, I had like a bad week and I don't want to know. Or sometimes it was like, I just think it's better for me not to know. I'll just watch my pants or whatever. Like, so they weigh you and then they give you like a starter pack of materials and it kind of has like the program overview, like some highs and lows of like what foods are in what categories or with what points and whatnot. And then after you sit for it through a meeting and then afterwards, they usually do like a beginner session, like a 15-minute check-in to teach you how the program works. And the now it's been a couple of years since I've gone, and I know they changed their plan randomly, but when I was there last, for the most part, the most popular version of Weight Watchers was a point system where based on your like height, weight, gender, age, a couple of things, you're assigned like a daily points total. And most foods have a points value. So, you know, if you're going to have like oatmeal for breakfast, like you're going to, you know, track like, okay, I had some oats at I measured out my oats, so I know how much, and it was 3 points. And now I've got 27 points remaining or whatever. And you, they encourage you to plan ahead so that you don't end your day at dinner and then go, oh shoot, I ate 60 points today and my budget was only 30. So that's kind of the gist of it.
So talking about the point system, I'm curious, you know, you talked about saving up your points or maybe going over 30 points and being like, whoa, you know, what do I do now? So how do you feel like maybe using that point system almost like disrupted like your body's ability or your ability to read your body's cues of hunger and fullness, which is something that we talked a lot about with our time together?
1000%. Yes. Something that the community of Weight Watchers encourages you to do is kind of game the system, like bulk up your meals with 0 point foods, which is commonly like fruits and vegetables, I guess. And so it'll be like, okay, if you're having like a stir fry with some tofu over rice, like, you know, those things are going to be points. And if you want to have like more rice or more tofu or whatever, you have to like bulk up your meal with veggies and like lots of broccoli. And so I like really took that to heart. And so I would have these like plates that were just like overflowing with stir fry. And I'd be like, well, I tracked 7 points for this. I have to eat every bite because if I leave something on my plate, like mentally, I can't figure that out. Like I tracked 7 points, but what did I leave? Like 2/3 of it, 1/3? Like how many points do I reduce? Or am I not doing myself like a service of getting all the points I am owed today? And very much there would be days where like maybe it was like a more fruit and veggie heavy day for whatever reason. And I'd get to the end of the night and I'd be like, well, I still have 7 points left. I guess I have to eat some chips and hummus, or I guess I have to eat some ice cream or whatever, you know, and whether I was hungry or not, or whether those were the foods that I really needed. So it did disrupt it a little bit.
Yeah. A lot. Yeah. Well, because in a way you're relying on these external cues to tell you what to eat, how much to eat, how much you should or shouldn't eat instead of like your own body.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I have spent a lot of time on that, and especially around even just like the components of a meal. You know, some meals are more veggie heavy than others. And I have this like back of my mind, like nagging voice always, that's like, you got to bulk it up with 0 point foods. Oh, are you hungry? Have an apple. Don't have any peanut butter with it, 'cause that's too many points. Like, so I have kind of quieted that voice a little bit, but there are definitely times where I'm like, oh, I know what that is. I know where that's coming from.
Yes. Which is good. I'm glad that you're aware of it. That's like the first step, right? Is like being aware of like where this voice is coming from. Being like, okay, no, that voice needs to go.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So a lot of sort of, like you said, unlearning and relearning some things, even just something like, you know, your hunger and fullness cues and things like that.
Yes. Well, it's so much of what the community kind of encourages is like that. And I think it's all diets, right? It's like, oh, be really like strict, be really good, like Monday through Thursday or Friday. And then like Saturday is your cheat day. Or in Weight Watchers, you get a bank of like kind of extra points that you can use on top of your daily allowance. Some people just like eat a little bit more every day. Some people save them for like a Thanksgiving meal, for example, or on like Saturday, I'm going to go out for drinks with the girls. And then I have all these extra points for wine. But very much it's like, oh, it's Saturday, like time to eat a heartier breakfast, time to get that takeout, time to have that ice cream. And it encourages this kind of like peak of like overeating or like overindulging, or like the gal who wanted a donut, like she was encouraged to like wait till Saturday, and if you still really wanted it, to go get a donut, you know. And so about a year ago, I remember realizing after spending some time with you that I was honoring those needs like throughout the week. Like maybe on Tuesday I had ice cream, maybe on Thursday we ordered takeout, but it was just like even, like it evened out. And then maybe after having ice cream on Tuesday, like Wednesday I didn't have ice cream, and then like Friday I had like a lighter lunch because I was still full from takeout on Thursday, or you know, whatever. And it really balanced out, and it created this sense of like food freedom.
Yes, perfect use of that word, those words.
I know.
Yeah. And almost like this natural flow, and too, like the trust that you had with yourself to recognize that, oh, hey, like I can have ice cream on a Tuesday, and maybe I don't even want it on a Wednesday, or do takeout on Thursday and have a lighter, like that is sort of the ebb and flow of just life in general. 'Cause we're not robots. We don't eat the exact same amount every single day or the exact same points every single day. That changes.
Yes. And I think it's been good for me in the last year and a half to notice the other ways that like my cravings or my hunger ebbs and flows. I mean, it definitely moves in tandem with even just like my monthly cycle. Like now I have like kind of nailed it to the where I'm like not surprised when I don't finish my breakfast one, you know, for 2 or 3 days in a row. Like, oh, I know where I am in my cycle. And I know that I'm just like not as hungry those weeks and mm-hmm. or those days. So
yeah. Yeah. Getting more in tune with yourself.
I know.
It's so beautiful. So what would you say, being on the journey that you're on now, what you're most proud of and what you would maybe encourage other people to try?
Well, I think I'm most proud of two things, and three things, two of them relate to food. One is that I have really, I think, tuned in on what my body wants to eat, and when it wants to eat it, stopping when I'm full, sending pictures of my half-eaten food to Ashley so that she can be proud of me. And also just kind of honoring what I want to eat. Like if I want ice cream on a Tuesday, I go for it. And then the second piece is around like clothes, like to wrap it, like to circle back, is just if something isn't serving me or fitting me, unless it is like a crazy expensive designer piece that I want to have altered, like it's going.
I love that. And I think it's funny to note too. So Amanda, she still does send me pictures every once in a while because, and I think this is good to note because most of us grew up sort of with this clean plate club of feeling like we had to finish our meal. Then you talking about your points, feeling like you had to finish it because you already tracked 7 points, is that now you don't feel tied to finishing everything that's on your plate, which you once did.
Yes. And I think known that was the right thing to do because it's what I try to teach my kids. Mm. Like, it's always, can I have dessert? And I'm not like, well, finish all your dinner. It's more like, is your tummy full of dinner? Like, do you have room for a popsicle? Like, what does your body say? Do you need more? And so I think I knew that was the right thing to do, but it was one of those like, I know the right thing to do by other people, but not myself.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. So one thing I appreciate you bringing up is like, you have two little girls who are amazing. And you also talked about in the beginning how, you know, dieting was a big part of your childhood. And so one thing that Amanda, just to say to you directly, one thing I'm really proud of you for doing is that you've, as best as you can, you're trying to remove diet culture from your household and model something differently for your daughters.
Yes, I am. Thank you. I try to talk a lot about bodies and shapes and sizes. Both of my kids are naturally fairly thin so far. Who knows what puberty will bring, but so they've got like privilege going into it. But, you know, I have friends of various shapes and sizes. And even as I was like getting rid of a couple pairs of pants the other day, I made a point of being like, oh yeah, like these don't fit my body anymore. So I am going to get rid of them and get some pants that do because I don't want to wear pants that are uncomfortable and bodies change. My kids were like, even grown-up bodies, like, aren't you done growing? And so it was a good opportunity to talk about how like bodies are always changing and our bodies know what we need. And there are some times in our lives where we need more fat on our bodies and sometimes where we are more muscular. And it was a good chance to kind of share that. I'm always trying to be mindful of like, I want them to see me eat ice cream. Like I want them to see me eat it and not make a big deal out of it. But on the flip side, I really like to eat salads. So I always try to be aware of being like, I know I'm having a salad right now, but look, I'm putting like fat in it and I've got grains and protein. Like I try to kind of talk through why I'm really enjoying this meal and it's yes. Okay that I eat a salad.
Yep. I think too, that's just great. Knowing what you know now and reflecting back on even your own childhood, like the fact that you're able to kind of, again, model that a little bit differently for your girls and use different things like eating ice cream or throwing at your clothes as opportunities to talk to them or answer their questions when they have them.
Yes. I know I won't be the only voice and that they will hear from their friends or their friends' moms or movies, magazines, the internet, whatever. But I want to be like the first voice that they hear. I want to be the loudest one.
Oh, I love that. Oh, so wonderful. Well, Amanda, thank you so much for sharing your journey and your story and just being vulnerable. I really do appreciate it. And I just thank you so much for being here. And I'm just so grateful too that I've been able to be a part of your journey.
Oh, thank you. I tell everybody how I got here and who got me here. So I'm a big cheerleader for you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. All right. Thank you so much for listening. And Amanda, I will talk with you later.
Thank you so much for listening to the Plant Centered and Thriving podcast today. If you found this episode inspiring, please share it with a friend or post it on social media and tag me so I can personally say thank you. Until next time, keep thriving.